had to prepare this, I ended up with, how many pages were there? 6 pages, okay? And you can see how, you know, how it's typed on them, you know, some nice spacing on it and everything. And now I'm not going to get this, I'm not going to get all 6 pages taught. You know, I'm well aware of that. But that we should glorify God will not be denied by anyone, I expect, here in our Sunday school. And that within the church, and many churches would agree with the fact, regardless of what caliber of church they are, they would agree with the fact that we need to glorify God.
Right.
And so let's look to him in prayer before I actually start the lesson. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your love and your grace and your goodness. Now I pray your blessing on these thoughts that are going to be presented. And we pray, dear Father, that the truth of your scriptures will be very clear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, it's an obvious truth in God's word that we ought to glorify God. Well, what does it mean to glorify God? We know we ought to do it, and we're going to see tons of verses. You know, it sounds like a young person, a kid talking, doesn't it? Tons of verses on the subject. But to glorify is to honor or to exalt. Okay, you could use the word honor, the word exalt in place of the word glorify, but that's what it means to glorify God, to honor him and to exalt him. Now, Jeremiah chapter 13, if you would find that, please. Jeremiah in chapter 13 and verse 15, Jeremiah 13, and I'll read verse 15. Hear ye, O give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness, and before your feet stumble upon dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Give glory to the Lord your God before. And listen, do not procrastinate about giving God the glory. That's the point that comes out of this verse. We should not procrastinate. We should be sure to give God glory before these things all happen. Don't let some judgment of God that comes to us be the motivation to glorify God. We ought to just do it right up front. And we should beware, going back to Romans chapter 1, we should beware of not glorifying God. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 and 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. That's wrong.
Right.
Okay, and we need to beware of not glorifying God. God says we ought to honor him. Now, listen, we need to do it with the heart. It's not just with words. Words will be used to communicate an honoring or an exalting of God, but it needs to have heart in it. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. 29 and verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me. See, that we ought to do that. We ought to honor the Lord. But they do it with the lips. The middle of the verse says, but they have removed their heart far from me and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. They've removed their heart. We need to glorify God and honor God, but it's got to be with the heart. It's not sufficient that we just say the right thing. There needs to be the right heart in what we say. Now, listen, we know if our heart's in it or not.
That's right.
I may not be able to detect that in another person, but I don't have to. That's God's work, and God will do that. He knows the heart. That's why he said here, with their lips they honor me, but they have removed their heart, and they not only removed it, but far from me. Now, there, what I have listed first of all, and we're going to look at some specific verses. I want to give a somewhat of a summary kind of introduction. There's varied subjects and instructions about glorifying God. I'm just going to quickly read over them. We need to glorify God for his grace to others. We ought to glorify God because it's commanded. We need to glorify God in his judgments. We need to honor God for his judgments. We need to exalt God with punishment for not doing it. God will hold us accountable. We need to glorify God for his holiness. We need to glorify God for the whole universe. God expects this of the universe. This is not just something God expects of us as believers, as born again people. He expects this of everyone. Everyone is expected to honor and to glorify God. Do they do it? No, of course they don't do it. You know that. He already told us their hearts removed, far from him. We should glorify God and the resolve of us as believers. We should glorify God for his mercy and truth. Glorify God for his wondrous works. Glorify God, the saints, as believers, we should unite in glorifying God. We need to do it individually, but we need to do it together as a group of people. And then glorify God, it's required in our body and in our spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? And so glorify God. It's due to him. And he has wondrous works that he's done, and we ought to glorify God for his wondrous works. Oh my God, I must have 10 more things here. Bible verses that tell us about glorifying God. Then I've got others in the group. Glorifying God is accomplished in many ways. It's accomplished by glorifying Christ. You see, when we glorify Christ, it glorifies God, the Father. And we glorify God, it's accomplished by the suffering of Christ. It was accomplished in us by confessing Christ. It's also accomplished by doing all things for him. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? Glory of God. Everything we do is supposed to glorify God, supposed to honor him. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, even in something as basic as that. Amen. This is a special day, Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. But this one is special because it's the one within the calendar, within the church, for centuries that have remembered that he rose from the dead. I don't remember which. I said it last year, and I don't remember what culture it is, but there is a country, there is a people that on what we call Easter Sunday, the greeting they give to each other is not Happy Easter, but the greeting is he is risen. And when he meets someone, you say, he is risen, and then the response is he is risen indeed. What a wonderful way to celebrate the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
Pat reminded me that back when the church where we met, church where I got saved at, she remembered one Easter season, the pastor prepared the people and said, "Now listen, when it comes to Easter Sunday, when you see each other at church, don't say Happy Easter, say He is risen." And then you reply, "He is risen indeed." And he stressed that, and he asked his people to do that. And she remembered that all these many, many years later. And so we glorify God. It's accomplished by doing all that we do, as basic as eating or drinking or whatever. We glorify God by bringing forth fruits of righteousness. We glorify God by having patience in affliction. Now that's where it can be difficult to have patience in affliction. Accomplished by faithfulness. Glorifying God is accomplished by relying on His promises. Not on what we can do, not on what we can generate, not on how we can handle a matter, but relying on His promises. Now there's Bible verses for all of these. Good night. I wouldn't get over half of what I've said if we looked up all the verses, and we're going to look up some verses, but it's accomplished by praising Him. We exalt Him. It's accomplished when Jesus died, and glorified is accomplished by doing all to glorify Him, which we already quoted in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So you glorify God, accomplished in many ways. Now we glorify God in various duties that we do. Now I got a whole section on duties. And I've got, what do we got? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I must have 12 verses here on the duty of fulfilling our duties and then how that glorifies God. And let me read off a few of them here. We glorify God in the duty of spiritual unity. Listen, when we have fussing and bickering amongst us, it does not glorify God.
Amen.
Well, I think we spend way too much money on the new carpet. When we got, you know, we should have just kept the old carpet. That was good enough. Fix it up. What's the difference? The difference when we bicker and fuss over things of that sort. Well, we're gonna paint a room. Well, I think it ought to be blue. Well, no, green would be better. And people fuss and bicker. It is no wonder that unbelievers don't want to bother going to church when they see how the people in the church can't get along with each other. Well, I've been in that church ever since I was a baby. Well, that's wonderful. That doesn't give you more than one vote. You only got one vote. Somebody who just came a week ago and joined the church, they got the same one vote. You think you ought to have a little more influence because you've been here longer than everybody else. This is not your church, it's God's church.
Yes.
We need to glorify God by spiritual unity, by in the very act of praising God. Okay, very act of praising God. Listen, there's nothing wrong with saying amen in a service. Yeah, see, he's learned that. I think his mama pinches him sometimes when I'm getting to make explanations. No, I don't. Hey, you got another baby, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that. Hey, it was marvelous. When she went home from the hospital, before they came up here to their house on Habgood Road, they came from the hospital down to 211 North 19th Street. Let Mrs. Haynes see that baby. That was so special and precious.
Yes.
Okay? Now listen, you build spiritual unity by doing things for each other.
Right.
Okay? And when we do them, we do them, you don't have to do them expecting to get something back.
Right.
It's nice when you get a kind deed given back to you, but you do it just because it's right to do. It's something they need. And if you're looking to get a reward for it, you've lost your reward. Okay? You get to heaven, you might say, but what about this and such? And God will say, yeah, but what about this? Yeah. Glorify God by good works. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify God. And we glorify God by fruit bearing. Now, one last section I have here, and boy, this is a long one. Glorify God. There's many examples in the Bible about glorifying God. We glorify God, and it is very possible that the holy example of the saints. Now listen, that's not the saints of the Roman Church or the Eastern Orthodox Church. That's the saints of yourself. You are a saint. You may not act very saintly sometimes, but it doesn't change the fact that you are a saint in the sight of God. And that can lead others to glorify God. You glorify God. Christ was an example of it. Abraham, Paul was an example. There's a case where the multitudes glorified God. Jesus did some work, and the people were appreciative, and they honored God. They glorified God for what he had done. And then the church at Jerusalem was another example of glorifying God. There was a woman with an infirmity, and when Jesus healed her, she glorified God. There were Gentiles at Antioch that glorified God. Now, all of this is in the Bible. If you'd ask me before I studied and prepared for this lesson, you know, are there very many places? I'd say, yeah, there's a good fair number. But my eyes were opened to how often the Word of God says we are to glorify him. He was glorified in the example of the leper, in the example of David in Psalm 57, in the example of the man that was sick of the palsy, exemplified by angels. Glorifying God was exemplified by Mary, the mother of Jesus. Glorified examples of the Gentiles, the non-Jews at Antioch of Syria. Now, there were other places where the Gentiles glorified God. And the leper who Jesus healed, the blind man, the centurion, shepherds, angels, over and over again, we read how people glorified God. Marvelous is the truth of glorifying God. Now, let's take your Bible. We are to glorify God for his grace to other people. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And verse 18. Acts 11, 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Peter glorified God when he realized that this was not only something for the Jews, but this was something for the Gentiles as well. And that's so true. Now, the Jews had an edge with Jesus because he chose them through whom the Messiah would come, who the Savior would come, but not just to the Jews. He came for the whole world.
Yes.
And you and I ought to be very happy about that.
Yes.
Because because we're not Jews.
That's right.
Now, you know, you might have an eighth of Judaism in you, okay, but it doesn't cause you to be able to have any insight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, I'm looking at chapter 9. I'm going to begin at verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9, 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. We're glorifying God because of his grace to other people. Always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Here it comes. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And so they glorified God because of the grace that God gave to them and how he supplied for them, as we just read. Then one last one on this matter of grace to others, and we need to honor God for giving grace to other people. I remember when a lady at church that I was pastoring, she said when I was talking about the matter of reaching other people with Jesus Christ and salvation, and she said, well, I must confess, this was privately one-on-one to me, she said, I must confess, I thought that, me, my husband, the two kids, us four, no more. She said, I didn't think that we needed any more. I was very content that my family was saved and we were in church, and that's all that mattered. And others didn't matter. But in preaching the word of salvation, and in preaching the necessity of witnessing to people and telling them about Jesus Christ, God opened her eyes to see that it was wrong for it to be just us four no more. Does anybody here have that mentality that since you're saved and you're in and you're going to heaven, that's really all that matters? You'd never say it, but be damned, let them go to hell, the other people. Because that's what's going to happen if we don't reach them with the gospel. I'm going to make an announcement. Next Sunday, Dale's going to be in two different jails, Cortland County and Tompkins County. Why is he going there? He's going there because he got a burden for those men. If those men don't trust Jesus Christ as Savior, they'll perish in hell. How are they going to come to know Jesus Christ if we don't tell them? The people that live in this area of Allegheny County, they need to be told about Jesus Christ. Listen, the fact that we're here as a church, a good church, a solid church, a Bible-preaching church, that doesn't mean diddly squat to the unsaved people. We're just, this is church buildings. Listen, you go down to Cuba, there's bunches of church buildings. They don't make a difference. The difference comes when the people in the church building proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm sorry I wasn't here for the last several weeks to put Easter tracts in the track rack. You know, folks, you get in the groove, okay? I said a groove, not a rut, okay? A rut's no good. Stay out of a rut. Don't get in a rut. Okay, I've heard people say already, I like being in a rut, you know. No, but you're comfortable with what you do. But you get in a groove. Now, I was out of the groove. Yeah. And when I would come here to church, I would see the track rack, and it would remind me. And I have Easter tracts at home. And I'd have brought them and put them out. He said, well, why didn't you send them to somebody? Because I was out of the groove. I never even thought about them. Now that's to my shame. But we need to be telling people about Jesus Christ. I know they're not interested. I know you give a tract to them, but a lot of them are just going to throw it away. But there are thousands of stories about people that got saved by reading a gospel tract. Now, what other stuff God has done in their lives that tract just became a part of it, we don't know. We don't need to know. All we need to know is that we're doing what God told us to do, and that is tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm very satisfied. I'm very comfortable. I got my pew. I got my friends. And we talk and we chat. And boy, it encourages me and lifts me up. But people are dying and going to hell. You know, I don't think I wonder sometimes, do I really believe this business about hell? Or is it just a teaching? I accept it as a teaching of the Bible. But I got neighbors that I'm praying for that they'll get saved. They're lost. They don't know Jesus. They think everything's okay because they go to church. Now listen, when you live in Olean, over half the population is Roman Catholic. Okay? When I look at my neighbors and that one there and that one there and that one there, they're out of five nearby neighbors, three of them are Roman Catholic. And you know what? They think everything's okay. Why wouldn't they think that? That's what they've been taught. And we need to tell them something else. We need to pray that God would show us how to reach them with the gospel. It exalts Jesus Christ and the grace that he's given to others. Now, I was going to Galatians, and I got a little sidetracked there. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 24. Well, let's get a little context to it and go with 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed, and they glorified God in me. The me there is the Apostle Paul. And they had heard how Paul had persecuted the church. You know, the Voice of the Martyrs. And they have a magazine that comes out. And story after story of people that have been persecuted. That's what Paul was doing. He was taking people and persecuting them. What do you call that? He beat them. Okay? And he caused all kinds of harm. And he had official go-ahead to do that. Hey, now listen, folks. We need to be serious about this matter of our Christian life and faith. And if you're not saved, you need to get serious. Because there's persecution that has started in our country.
Right.
It's against Christians.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, why would it be against Christians? Because it's the Christian truth and what's taught in the Bible that shows men that they're wrong. And rather than admit it and accept the provision that God made through Jesus Christ, what people will do is try to shut it down. Now, if you listen to any kind of news,